There are two main drivers of this exponential increase of needs. More conflicts and violent extremism, and second, climate change. Already hurricanes, floods, droughts are leading to tremendous impact on the most vulnerable people, and always it is the poorest that are affected most. On top of it, we have very fast population growth in areas in the world that cannot much afford it, for example, in the Sahel or the Horn of Africa. What that has led to is that today we have 125 million people that depend on the help of others to simply survive. If they were a country, they would have been the 11th largest country in the world. They would have been just between Japan and Mexico. This is a country where people live in fear. They have very little access to jobs. They are unfortunately deprived of very basic food, medical care, shelter. And that is a pressure not only on them. This is not only a tragedy for them. This is a very significant destabilizing factor affecting all of us.
There is a $15 billion gap in humanitarian assistance funding. What does it mean in practical terms for people in need?
Just to give one example, the fact that there is such a tremendous gap meant that refugees in Jordan and Lebanon have seen their food rations decrease to a point that they could not possibly survive. That means that we are simply not able to provide for the very basic needs of people. And that is not only a matter of physical survival. This is depriving people from their dignity, depriving them from hope. And we see this in Europe resulting in a very massive movement of people, 1.5 million refugees coming to Europe in a very short period of time. 15 billion is a lot of money, but we need to see this in a context of a world economy that produces $78 trillion GDP every year. We as a panel very strongly believe that it is a matter of political will, and that political will we can generate so no one has to die or have their dignity destroyed just because of lack of money.
The report focuses on three areas to address the funding gap: shrinking the needs, growing the resource base for funding, and improving efficiency through the so-called grant bargain between key humanitarian partners. Can you tell us more about the so-called grant bargain? What does it involve and what does it mean?
We believe that the grant bargain is very key to create the political will necessary to close the financial gap in humanitarian action. Why? Because a more efficient and transparent humanitarian system is likely to create more interest among ordinary people, governments and the private sector to support it. It is about both the donors and the implementing agencies. For the donors, we are asking that they simplify their reporting requirements, harmonize these requirements, provide less earmarked money. In other words, they don't say, oh, this money is for this particular purpose, but let agencies decide on their priorities and provide more long-term funding. Today, we have protracted crisis dominating. An average family lives in displacement for 17 years, and yet we are still raising money on an annual basis for humanitarian aid. We are also asking the implementing agencies to be more transparent, to harmonize their cost structures, and to be more determined to improve coordination and improve efficiency. Currently, there is a competition for resources among agencies that leads to inefficiency in the system. We want this to be overcome. We want to have a collaborative efficiency coming out of a more transparent and a better coordinated system. And we believe this would help to improve the trust of all of us in the humanitarian system and increase funding that comes to it. We are seeing today a model in which five donors, five countries fund two-thirds of humanitarian aid. That has to diversify. We need donor governments. We also need the private sector to step in. It is hugely important for the world economy, but not as important as it could be for dealing with the fate of the most affected by conflicts and disaster people. And we want to see this changed.